الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطيع الله ورسوله فقد رشده ومن يعصيهما فلا يضر إلا لنفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان انه لكم عدو مبين. It is indeed a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have returned to this congregational prayers to remind ourselves inna hudallahi huwal huda, that the guidance is indeed the guidance that comes only from the creator of the universe. He assured us wa imma ya'tiyannaka minni hudan فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That whenever you find the guidance and you follow that guidance, you will have nothing to worry and nothing to fear. And this was the simplest message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered to humanity through all the successive messengers and prophets. But the one who ensured that each and every word of the divine message is preserved not only in human memory but also in writing in his own lifetime was none other than Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who is described as Rahmatul Lil Alameen, who ensured that it would no longer be left to human agencies to determine and decide what are the words of God. He ensured that he preserved those words in his own lifetime. He reminded us that a day will come with each one of us will be recalled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be held accountable for everything that we say and do in this world. And on that day we will be asked, اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. You had an empty book when you came to this life. You were writing with your own deeds and your own actions. And now is the time to read this one, and your destination will be determined on that basis. He also assured us, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا, that if you are pious, if you are God conscious, if you act in a responsible manner towards the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you indeed will be successful. Early this week, millions from all over the world completed yet another Hajj peacefully, reminding the world that it is possible that the humanity can act in unison with each other when it worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In 2008, Kennedy School of Government at the Harvard University conducted a study about the impact of Hajj on Muslim societies and the societies in general. They interviewed thousands of people. And they had three major findings. The one, that the Hajj promotes the ideals of peace among those who witness it and who experience it. The second finding, that the Hajj promotes equality among people who witness it and who experience it. And third, Hajj promotes respect for women. In fact, what the study did was an endorsement of the divine guidance that we read in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا, that we have made this house a place to return for people and a place to find peace. And we all are aware of the story of Hajj, the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the way the Kaaba was built, the way the sacrifice of animals was prescribed, the way the struggles the family of the Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam underwent. But there's one aspect that somehow has missed our collective attention. One aspect of Hajj which is often presented as a footnote of the whole story. As you know, the story began some 4,000 years ago when something very unusual took place. A messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is said to be the role model for humanity, who is the one who has given the responsibility to create a family and the present that family as a role model to humanity, was asked to leave his young wife and infant child in a barren land. A very unusual decision. A very unusual decision that the Prophet, whose family has to be a role model for humanity, who has to take the responsibilities of the family to ensure that the child is sustained and nurtured properly, and the wife is taken care of, is being asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave the wife and the infant child in a barren land. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his family conceded to the demands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the recommendation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left that family in that barren land, he made a statement. And he said, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِبَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ إِنَّ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاجْعَلْ أَفِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. In fact, it's a four-part statement. I brought part of my progeny to this barren land, and my hope is that they would establish prayers. My hope is that they would engaged in some activity that would inspire people to be attracted towards them. That they would engage in economic activities to find sustenance for themselves. And then they would be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not misusing or wasting the resources that Allah would give to them. It was a manifesto to build the community. And if we look at the foundations of the modern nation building, we find these four elements, an integral part of the nation building, that where you have the spiritual dimensions of the community, social dimensions of the community, financial and economic dimension of the community, and the conservation of the resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. And the entire responsibility of living that manifesto was given to one person, one adult, and that was Mother Hajra. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam would leave and would return after 8 years. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam is only an infant. He doesn't know how to pray. She is by herself. And the responsibility is being given to her to establish a community based on spirituality, prayers, based on social interaction with the society at large, a society founded on strong economic basis, and a society that understands the rules of preservation of the resources of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was she herself that was given that responsibility. And how she played that responsibility is all known to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so much pleased with what she did in terms of playing the leadership role that he included in the Quran, Inna Safa wal Marwata min Sha'irillah. She ran in between those two hillocks. The Zamzam that every Haji and everyone who visits Mecca drinks is a result of her search. She was the one who gave the rights to people to settle in that land. She was the one who taught people how to pray. She was the one who laid the foundation of the community. And so much was pleased that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the institution of Hajj after her. Without running between Safa and Marwa, the Hajj is not complete. Without going around the Kaaba, the Hajj is not complete. Without going through that kind of a struggle, the Hajj is not complete. And that answers the question that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to leave her alone in that barren land. The society as it is today, it was also at that particular time a male-dominant society. It was impossible, even in the religious circles, to treat women equally with dignity, with respect. So much so that the women themselves had developed that kind of psyche that they are unable to compete, to do anything substantial in the reconstruction of the society. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isolated her from all this male dominant society, took her to a barren land where she would be by herself and she would have all the freedom and all the resources to establish a society based on the divine teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had clarified. And she played that role. And that role established what we call the Hajj today. Without her, Hajj would have been impossible. Without her, the generation that grew up with Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam would not have got the divine guidance, as she was the one who was sharing that divine guidance. Obviously, Allah must have prepared her for that role in the company of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in the places where she lived before. She must have acquired that knowledge. She must have understood the psyche of human beings. She must have understood the role that a leader plays in developing a community and society. And it was primarily to prove to humanity that never underestimate the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't assign them to the second class citizens. Don't assign them a role that serves your own egos and your own interests rather than the interests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Treat them equally. Give them the opportunities to play the leadership role so that they could be an equal partner in the reconstruction of a society based on divine guidance and divine values. That was the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was trying to communicate to humanity through the example of Mother Hajra. That it is possible that those who have been suppressed and those who have been denied the rights, when they are given the opportunity, can establish a society based on the divine guidance and divine values and prove that they are worthy of the creation that they have been created for. And that is the essence of the story of the Hajj that comes. Without the respect and without reminding ourselves of the sacrifices of Mother Hajra, and without acknowledging the role that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned, and without the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, it is not possible for Muslim communities and Muslim societies to reconstruct themselves socially on the lines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. And this is the message that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam communicated. It all depends on your own perspective, how you read the seerah. You can read the seerah according to your own biases. But if you look at the seerah itself, you find examples after examples in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where every opportunity was provided to the sections that were considered weaker, that was considered isolated from the society, to play the leadership role in every aspect of the life at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was not only at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that that kind of practice was continued. It went on and on. And perhaps it is to be noted that the entire history of the humanity among the people who were educated, entire, not just Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, any religion you take, there came a time when Muslim women were the most educated in not only religion, but in all affairs of the sciences. There was a time when there were approximately 8,000 scholars among women, without whose license it was impossible for men to complete their studies and education. In Herat, in Bukhara, in Samarkand, and in Baghdad, and many other places in the world, in Nishapur, there were institutions and schools that were run by Muslim scholars among women who would give license to scholars. Ibn Hajar Asqalani went there to get his degree. Many others went there to get the license. It was on the line of Mother Hajaras and her role that she played. They understood it. They understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not be unjust to one person and one of his creation by denying them the right to play an equal role in the reconstruction of the society that comes as a result of the union of the two. And this is the message that we have forgotten. And this is what we have to realize, that the problems and the issues that we are having in our communities, regardless whether they are in China or they are in Kashmir or they are in different parts of the world, pertaining to the poverty and pertaining to the powerlessness and pertaining to the helplessness, it is coming as a result of the situations that is prevalent in our own community in terms of equality and in terms of respect and in terms of the dignity of women. While denying the equality and the dignity in the family, you don't expect them to raise a generation that would be a self-respecting generation and that would stand as an independent person, an autonomous person, to demand justice not only for themselves but for others as well. You cannot. This is not the divine law. This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to do. And this is what we need to understand, that how we can empower within our own families, our own communities, and give opportunities and create avenues where the leadership role can be played by those who have been denied so far. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. So the beginning has to be from our own family structures, our own homes, our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, our wives. They all given to be given the assurance that the talents and the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them would not be compromised. Within the bounds of Islam, within the ethical framework of Islam, within the moral boundary that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for men and women. Because this is what the sunnah of the Prophet and this is what the teachings of the Tabi'een as well. And when they are integrated in that role, you would see a different community and a different society, a society that would be reminiscent of the society that was created by Mother Hajra, that was created by Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companions, and a society that was a vibrant society, a society that believed in the equality of humanity and the dignity of humanity in the real sense of the term, not in terms of the cosmetic words, not in terms of the cosmetic ideas. And that is what the message of Hajj emerges. After all that unity that we talk is for what? That unity is for the dignity of humanity. That unity is for the justice of humanity. That unity is for respect for each and every human being. It is not in vacuum. If we are asked to unite, if we are asked to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are asked to follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is to ensure that His creation does not live in a state of injustice, in a state of indignity, in a state of persecution, in a state of denial of the rights that Allah has given to them. So it's a huge task, but the task would begin from our own selves, from our own homes. So we have to change our perspectives in terms of the relationship that we have with our daughters, our sisters, our mothers, our wives, and then the role that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned. It is time for us to go back to the original source, to understand what that source asks us to do. We have lost connection with that source. The source is there. But some 80% of us don't understand the language in which that source is. If they understand the language, then they understand it through the perspectives of others. And if they even understand it, then they divide themselves on the basis of this or that kind of group. That source clearly tells us, إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى, that He is the one who gives guidance. And when you follow that guidance, you have nothing to worry and nothing to fear. So let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He enables us to live the guidance in the manner that He wants us to live. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to protect all those suffering people in different parts of the world, whether they are in Kashmir or in China or in Palestine or in other places of the world. Protect them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give us the inspiration to stand for justice for them and for their rights. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are living in persecution, those who are living under the bondage of racism and other things, inspire them to stand for their dignity. عباد الله إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأهم وأتم وأكبر. أقم الصلاة.